Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, the game here on this Friday here in Lebanon, Reunion Township off 109. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos.
You sound sad. What's wrong?
Oh, I was just reading some of these texts. Al does not agree with me and says, H to the N-O on Bonds as compared to Rose getting into the Hall of Fame, no freaking way. They both should be in. How about that?
Pete Rose should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Because he broke a rule?
He bet on the game of baseball, which was a no-no. He was told, do not bet on the game of baseball, and he did it anyway. And you could say, well, he didn't bet on the Reds. He bet.
Don't know if I can say that, actually.
But he bet on the game of baseball, and so that's a no. I mean, that's a no-no. Steroids is not in anywhere in that, right?
No. I still think it should be in. Because here's why. Because all the writers that vote on it are far from perfect. And it's so hypocritical he broke a rule, or he shouldn't have bet on baseball. But are we keeping people? I mean, if we're going, because that's moral. I mean, there's some morality with that too, right?
Yeah.
If we're going with that, then kick OJ out of the Hall of Fame.
But OJ did what he did.
OJ killed two people.
After the game of football.
OJ killed two people.
Okay, I know that.
You want that in the Hall of Fame?
Of course not. But it's an athletic accomplishment.
I'm just saying.
Pete Rose was still employed by baseball doing that.
And now he's dead. So what does it matter? He's going in because they've reinstated him.
And also, you can't slander the dead. You know that?
You can't.
Call Pete whatever you want. He broke the rule at the time.
He broke the rule. But a lot of people that – I bet you if you go and look at any halls of fame, you're going to find some rule breakers. So it just – you know, we want to pick and choose. People want to pick and choose.
Ty Cobb is one of the worst men who ever walked planet Earth. Just an awful, awful man. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Just an awful man.
Sure.
But being an ignorant, racist jerk is not a prohibitive not to get you in the Hall of Fame. So,
right.
I mean, we're going to argue. This will be an argued till the day that the good Lord comes back.
Sure.
I mean, it's just an argument all the time.
But now, there's two people that disagree with you.
That's fine.
Because here's the other thing. I think a majority of the people just like Pete Rose for what he was. They know he was a flawed man, that he bet on baseball.
Oh, I think he's the greatest baseball player of all time.
He is the greatest baseball player
of all time.
And so people are just like, he should be in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean.
But he broke.
He did. I'm not denying that.
A major rule. And he knew it.
Right.
And he got bet on baseball. And I get all that. And the movie is great with all that, showed all that, and that's great. But he bet it on baseball. I think he's the greatest player of all time.
I think what they should have done is suspended him for 2 years and let him go play basketball. That might have worked.
There's a test case for that as well. But, you know, again, the Hall of Fame to me, you know how I feel about that because of two people. And now I think, was it the other day, Dan Patrick got an Odell Murphy rant, or Chipper did.
Yeah, Chipper did.
Chipper did, okay, about why Dale Murphy's not in the Hall of Fame.
Chipper made a great argument, and I actually really like this, on why Dale Murphy, like he made the argument that Dale Murphy and Andrew Jones should both be in the Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
And that they should take, he goes, there's roughly what, 75 living Hall of Famers, right? They should take 75 votes away from the writers that don't know anything.
Sure.
And give those votes to the living Hall of Famers. And that the living Hall of Famers should get a vote.
I can see that.
I am totally okay with that.
You see that? Yep. And then, like, someone's like, well, Harold Baines got in. His stats are less. And then Scott Rowland
got in.
I don't blame Scott Rowland and Harold Baines for the Hall of Fame. That's not their fault. They got elected. But the simple fact that Dale Murphy, again, is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame is an absolute crime of baseball.
I think he's going to get in, but I'm with you. Dale Murphy should be – he's a two-time MVP.
He's the only two-time back-to-back MVP not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he should be in. And I think there's a case for Andrew. And I'm not just saying this as a Braves fan. Like, I, the numbers, and you do have to look at eras. I think baseball is the one sport where the eras do matter a little bit when talking about a Hall of Fame.
I agree, because there were not relief pitchers in the 40s, 50s, no, and 60s, and up to, like, they started in the 70s. But you also, I think, you'd look at a good player on absolute terrible teams.
Sure.
The Braves, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88. They traded him in 90. I know they won the AL West in 80, the NL West in 82. They were terrible. They were terrible. And you could pitch around Dale Murphy, but he was amazing.
Yeah.
He was amazing. And what he did on terrible teams is Hall of Fame worthy. It just drives me nuts that he's not in the Hall of Fame.
So with that, would you forgive baseball if he finally got in?
Yeah, I'd go a long way.
Okay. Well, I mean, that right there is...
I'd go a long way.
You get Big Joe Dubin to support you again if you put Dale Murphy in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And Ed Too Tall Jones in the Pro Football
Don't
Hall
get
of
me
Fame.
Started. I'm ready for a weekend and our week ahead of us. I'm ready for all that. Now you got me upset. Again, the fact that Too Tall Jones is not in the Hall of Fame, another
The
crime.
Only reason he's not in is because they didn't measure sacks, right?
They didn't measure sacks back then. And also it's like, well, you had Harvey Martin, and then you had a few of the Randy White, a few of the guys on the team that didn't make which are all deserving.
Yeah.
But I'm
why, like, does that keep somebody out?
But it's like Diego Pavia for the Heisman, right? His stats aren't the greatest, but he lifts everybody up around him. Too Tall Jones was the impact of the game of football was amazing.
I do hate the argument of, like, you know, well, this guy didn't win as many All Pros. This guy didn't have as many All Pros because of this guy. It's like, okay, well, that's not his fault.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
That's.
Let me ask you this. Jared Allen went in the Hall of Fame last year, right?
Yep.
Too Tall Jones is not. Immediately reaction, like, huh? Too Tall Jones deserved to be in the Hall of Fame over Jared Allen.
Well, and this is what I will say. I think Jared Allen, in his era, put up the numbers that qualify him for the Hall of Fame. Ed Too Tall Jones is getting punished because the numbers that would help him didn't exist in his era.
Yeah.
And they should retroactively exist.
And I think numbers are a big part of it. They shouldn't tell the whole story.
Agreed.
Should
agreed.
Not tell the whole story.
There should be a group with the Hall of Fame that should go back and look at players like Ed Too Tall Jones and do some retroactive numbers. But, I mean, that he to me, is a Hall of Famer.
He is. Yep. 100%. So we have a special guest behind you right there. Let me look at this stat. Let me give you Joe Namath stats, okay? Joe Namath, his stats. Oh, let me find these real quick. Overall, so Joe Namath, his completion percentage was at 50%. He threw 173 touchdowns, 220 interceptions. He had a career passing rating of 65. But Joe Namath, 100% deserved being in the Hall
sure.
of Fame.
Right.
So
he's one of the best in his era.
He's one of the best in his era, and the numbers aren't. But what he did for the game of football, we had Mike Greenberg on, talked about the impact of Joe Namath, how he swung the AFL to make it legitimate with the NFL. Impact, not for a year, but of a 10-year career. Impact.
I go back to what John McClain said when he was on our show, and he was talking about the argument of putting Bud Adams in the Hall of Fame. Because anybody in any Hall of Fame, I think, has this question applies. Can you tell the story of that sport without that person?
You're right. I agree 100%. It's time for Bud to go in.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think – and I like, can you – again, even with the betting on baseball, can you tell the story of baseball without Pete Rose?
You cannot. But – Bud didn't bet on baseball like he did. I'm going to pull up one more stat before I know we got to get out of here in a second. But, like, Ken Stabler, another guy. You think Ken Stabler's a Hall of Fame quarterback? I mean, he is because he's in the Hall of Fame. But Ken Stabler's stats were very mundane. I mean, they were not great in any extent of what you consider Hall of Famers. I mean, he had – Ken Stabler finished his career pass rating of 75, 194 passes, 222 interceptions – I mean, way below anything, but he made the Hall of Fame because the impact of Ken Stabler. Now, I got a text earlier about Archie Manning. Archie Manning was a good quarterback, terrible teams, But he didn't live up to it because of the stats. He's not. His stats weren't good because football is a team game.
Yeah.
Baseball, you hit home runs, RBIs, you do it yourself. But if you're not surrounded by 10 good players, you're not getting in the Hall of Fame. Archie Manning, sadly enough, was not surrounded by a good cast. Therefore, he'll never get in the Hall of Fame.
Is he a college football Hall of Famer?
Yes, he is. Yeah. Oh, he was one of the best college players ever.
Yeah.
But he got drafted by the horrible Saints
right.
and got the hell beat out of him for years.
Right.
And then he got traded to?
The Oilers.
And then?
Vikings.
See, this kind of stuff makes me cry because you've got that. I love it. You know the history. I love it.
615-737-1025. We'll get back to our question of the day.
Okay. We're live at Reunion Township here in between Mount Juliet and Lebanon. Beautiful place. What was your first apartment like? Not your dorm room, your very first apartment. Chase talked about his apartment with, what, four roommates?
Yep.
Two guys and two girls,
yep.
which is really a bad sitcom. anybody get pregnant?
No.
My apartment was with Coach Wells. We had a TV, a footlocker, two lawn chairs, and beds on the floor. It was absolutely disgusting, but it was our disgusting. We want to hear what your first apartment was like. 615-737-1025.
We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Which is really a bad sitcom. anybody get pregnant?
No.
My apartment was with Coach Wells. We had a TV, a footlocker, two lawn chairs, and beds on the floor. It was absolutely disgusting, but it was our disgusting. We want to hear what your first apartment was like.
No. Home is where you make it. Home, where you make it. Oh. Everybody know that.
I'm glad you didn't play the rest of that. But that
oh,
was
man.
Good.
Right?
615-737-1025, your first apartment. 8586 says the guys got pregnant. Look, I gained about 60 pounds that I still haven't lost, so there you go.
Did you guys cook or something? What did you do, go out to eat all the time?
No, let me tell you, and I try and warn college kids about this. There was a Sonic within walking distance of the apartment, and I realized I just had no self-control.
Oh, well, I can see that.
Yeah.
That was before the app and everything else.
Oh, yeah. No. It's like, man, my mom's not here to tell me I can't go get a burger at 10 o'clock at night. I'm going to go.
Oh, man.
So that's where we were. Dustin in Hopkinsville said, walls, paint, wet carpet by the AC periodically, 70s couches, a waterbed,
no need
for birth control.
Yes. Oh, man. It's funny because we always forget to pay the light bill. We always forgot.
Yeah.
It's like, did you get it? No, I get it, and our electricity will always go off. Because you couldn't go online, and you had to actually go down there and say, hey, can you turn my lights back on? And then they did it.
So. I feel like you and Walt should have been a sitcom.
It was something. I can't tell 98% of the stories. But that's it. I mean, that's your first place. You get out. I mean, so to see that now in lawn chairs and a footlocker and a TV, but that's every guy our age.
Mike in Lebanon said, my first apartment had a living room, a kitchen, a bathroom, and a bedroom. The ceiling was 6 foot. I'm 6'1". The whole place would fit my current kitchen, which is 16 by 24.
Oh, that's great. Did you live in a shed? What in the hell? See, that's what we're looking for. Those are good stories right there.
Oh, that's so good.
You owned the world at that moment. I didn't need anything else. Had cable. Oh, I forgot. We had a boombox in the corner that played CDs. There was no streaming. There was nothing else. We just had that.
Yeah. All right. Keep these coming. 615-737-1025. This would be a fun story to ask athletes. Like, before you got big, like, where was your first apartment?
Yep. And now I think it's different.
Yeah.
Because they get some nice stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Some of these dorm rooms / apartments you go to college are like living at the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
It's like, did you just check in at the Omni? I mean, it's that nice. But the other ones are, when I went to junior college to play football, we had, I remember walking in asking the RA, I said, hey, where's my closet? He's like, you're what? I'm like, we're going to get a closet? He's like, no, you don't get a closet. So me and my roommate had we had just a pile. Like, Randy, that's your pile. Here's my pile. That's what it was. But I'm telling you, it made you into something. I mean, those dark days of – but you lived it, man. Yeah. You loved it, and now it was wonderful. And you look back like, God, that was some special days.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, you have me thinking about that freshman year at MTSU. I'm like, man, I kind of missed that. That was fun.
No, I mean, no worries?
Nope.
There were no worries.
Nope.
Like, is my fake ID going to work at the Borough? That's your only problem in the world right now.
I didn't have one of those.
You have a fake ID?
Uh-uh.
Oh, man. We got our fake IDs in Panama City, and it would be your address. So my address was 362 Burning Tree Drive, USA. There was no city, and the thing never failed. You know, it never failed. I forget. I got it taken. No, I lost it. So the fake IDs never failed.
Yeah.
Bouncers out there, bartenders, you know how you can bust a fake ID? It's very simple. We've talked about this.
How?
Ask somebody what their Zodiac sign is. If they don't know, it's a fake ID.
Yeah, because they don't know the birthday.
When were you born?
June.
What's your Zodiac sign?
Cancer.
Dr. Crane?
I'm a Leo.
There you go. We all know our Zodiac. Even if you say, I don't believe that's you know it. And if you don't know it, I'm going to question you. So that's how we would always bust people from a fake ID. Usually it was the guys we busted, not the girls.
Hey, how about that, Phyllis Diller? Ain't she something?
That's funny. I'll have to share something with you off the air that I just got.
It's Alan Jackson. Hey, boy.
No, it is not. 6-1.
That's what she said.
Dustin in Hopkinsville is on it today. He's talking about Mike in Lebanon's first apartment, and he goes. He goes, bro caught a ceiling fan in the nipple.
Was it Mike in Lebanon?
Yeah, that had the he was 6'1" and had the 6-foot apartment.
I got somebody texted and asked if Mike, was your first apartment on a Navy ship? That's what they wanted to know to do all that. But I mean, you're right. He's like when Garth Brooks moved here, that documentary when he lived in Goodlettsville at that duplex. I mean, disgusting. But that's. At the time, you're not focused on. You just need a place to lay your head as you pursue your dreams.
Yeah, but I mean, I think anybody has that story. You know, like I lived in a shoebox and then.
Well, not to lead into our next guest has a story. He told me one time about his living arrangements.
Oh, yeah.
Starting out.
We will ask him this question coming up next. Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators, will join us. They're getting ready to head to Sweden. They're not taking us with them, but that's fine.
Yeah, we're fine with that.
That's cool, whatever. We'll talk to Sean coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday at Reunion Township here. I was just listening to this song earlier.
Love it.
Yeah, well done. Here in Lebanon, having fun today. And let's bring in the one and only Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators. Who joins us now? Sean, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing really well, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're good. I know you have to be excited. Are you packed yet? Are you packed for Sweden?
You know, you sound like my wife. I am not packed yet. I was going to pack tomorrow after our game, and he encouraged me to probably pack on maybe tonight in case I need to get something. So
yeah,
it's an odd trip to pack for, right? Because we're going to New York on Sunday. Have the game obviously Monday, and then we leave after that game. So it's a few different things in there, and I don't change during the day. Like whatever I wear, I wear. But I got to be really careful what I pick out for the game on Monday because I'll be wearing that outfit for about 30 hours.
you might want to dress comfortably.
Yeah, amen. Well, speaking of comfortably, how come I get invited on your locations when you're like in Lebanon or Dixon? Why don't I get invited in the studio when you go to Key West?
Well, you're in Sweden. We sent you the email, and you're like, sorry, guy. Or it was like, sorry, girls, I'll be in Sweden. We're like, okay, we get it now. But you're always invited.
This is going to be a great trip, but I'm a little jealous. U.S. weather might be a hair nicer.
Well, we were so bummed that we weren't going to be able to go to Sweden. We just had to book this trip. So that's what we decided to do.
Well, you guys certainly took some lemonade or lemons and turned it into margaritas. So that's good.
We did.
We were going to go to Sweden, but we couldn't find a car to get us over there. So we're like, you can't make that trip.
Sean, I mean, speaking of Sweden, like the NHL, this I think is a credit to all of you that the NHL continues to include the Predators in these tentpole events. Like the Global Series. This is now the second one in the last few years that you all have gotten to do. I know that you have to be very proud of that.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, our league really does enjoy Nashville. You know, the passion of our fans, the support of our partners, the openness of our own organization and staff and players, coaches, GM, you know, to say yes to a lot of things and make the whole experience better for everyone involved. That's why we have so many fans that go. You know, our players really put themselves out there, you know, spend time with fans over there, clinics, and those sort of things. So it's really easy for the league to work with us because our fans make it something that makes them take notice. But, yeah, we're really proud of it. The other night, a season ticket holder was – I couldn't believe this complaint, the first one I heard like this. She said, it's so unfair that we get to do everything and some teams don't get to do anything. I was like, well – let's enjoy our own chocolate before we start sharing with the other teams, okay? Because there was a long stretch of time where we weren't included in these, you know, tentpole events. And the fact that over the past 10 years, we have an all-star game, an award show, the draft, two outdoor games, and now our second trip overseas. I mean, yeah, we're getting more than our fair share, but at the same time, our fans make it easy to get that. So call me a glutton, but it's a good thing.
I think it's a great thing. Sean Henry with us from the Nashville Predators. The impact. How do you quantify the impact of what this trip can do for the franchise? Is there a way or no?
Yeah, I don't think there's a direct way, which always bothers me. You know, I really like metrics. You know, where you can do X, you earn Y, or this is what's built. For this, it really is a little bit more gut, but it's also a pretty big payoff for our players and our overseas fan base. So, we went to Roman's hometown last time for a preseason game and then went to Czech Republic. You know, we got to touch two fan bases and further solidify who we were in Switzerland. You know, now we're going to Willsby and Forsberg's home country, which is a big deal. So, one, it's good for them. It's good for their families who have never seen them play in the NHL. But there is a growth in fans. There's no doubt. When we get our overseas TV ratings, it's always nice to see the spike after these types of trips. But again, it's hard to put a monetary number on that. But I do think it's nice to take some of your star players, some of your young players, and allow them to be even a bigger star for a week and have all their teammates kind of celebrate it with them. So that is nice, but again, it's hard to really measure it. I do know we talked about it for years and years afterwards for those that go on the trip. And this time we have about 350 fans going. Last time we had about 200. So that's really good, too. We put together a lot of fun things for our group to do together.
Well, again, it could be 352 if you just asked Chase and me to go. But we'll talk about that at the Christmas party, Sean, about that. We had Greg Wyshynski on yesterday and asked about teams doing international travel because I know coaches hate getting out of a routine. And he gave me an answer, Sean, that kind of surprised me. He said talking to players on international travel, they love it because they have a chance to really bond together in a place they've never been. And it goes, everybody talks about how it brings the team closer. So I think this is a cool thing to bring a hockey team together when you make international travel.
Yeah, I think you're so spot on. And especially when you look at what the schedule looks like, you know, we'll end up landing Tuesday morning. And then we have no games Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We'll only have one practice in there. Then you have the game, of course, Friday, and then a completely off day on Saturday. We'll have a practice, but then a fan event with our players. And then, of course, the game, then we fly home. But then you have 4 days off again. So it does not force, but it allows the opportunity for the guys to do some unique things that they don't normally do. You know, every one of our teammates or players, they've been to Chicago 1,000 times, Dallas, New York, wherever. Now they're going to a place where maybe only 4 or 5 of them have ever been, and they'll do some pretty unique things together that do bring you together. And I assume I'll do some karaoke with Phil at the ABBA Museum. Or, you know, we'll all see one of the oldest battleships in the world completely restored or the Nobel Museum. But when you see the guys doing those things together, it does change how you relate to each other in a pretty unique manner.
We're talking to Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators. So I do like getting the updates whenever you or Michelle are on the show, because I know there's a lot going on with Centennial Sportsplex and the proposal that you all have put forth. So what is the latest with that?
Yeah, you know, it continues to move forward, which is nice. You know, there's park board meeting in a few weeks for them to either give their approval or disapproval. Regardless of how it goes, and ideally we get the approval, then it goes to the second reading of City Council sometime in December, and then third and final reading in January. And, you know, those that aren't, you know, those that are looking at the deal, negotiate the deal, put the deal together, completely embrace it. Understand what it'll do for Centennial. Know that we're going to take all the great programs that are run there currently and have been for decades and allow them to continue to do what they do, just in a slightly enhanced venue, a venue that you're not going to have to worry about where will the investment come from if something were to happen. And there's been about $20 million of deferred maintenance in the building that we're going to take over and then add another $10, $15 million to the public side of the rinks to make sure they're even better than they are now. I'll modernize them a little bit, but at the same time, play to the history that's there and then enhance the legacy programs that play out of there, whether NYHL or Flyers or NSA or sled hockey, the adult leagues there. I mean, some of these guys have been playing since youth hockey. Now they're literally in their 70s. So our job is to get out of the way and let them keep doing what they're doing. But with that said, you know, there's a lot of passion. There are people that love those programs, as they should. Many of our own employees and owners have either played in those leagues, or their kids or grandkids playing in those leagues, or have played, myself included. And, you know, we've had a lot of interesting conversations where people want to, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this, what are you going to do? And, you know, we're going to put everything in writing for people. Not that we have to, because I think we've earned a lot of trust. But of course, when you love something, you want to make sure that it's going to continue and flourish. And that's what we're going through right now. We had another open forum meeting the other night. I mean, these are things that we're choosing to do because we want to give people a voice and A, to be heard, but also hear us back. And I know there are a lot of rumors still out there. This is just a good thing. The Preds are going to have a state-of-the-art, you know, gym and locker room and training room that doesn't impact the ice rinks at all. I mean, obviously, it's attached to it. And the rinks themselves will just get an upgrade, you know, whether it's, you know, enhanced restrooms and facilities and lighting and HVAC systems and ice skids to make sure that things can continue on, you know, for years and years. I'm sure you guys go there all the time. And when you're there, you know, it needs a little love. And I'm excited about it. I hear a lot of people say, well, why are they doing this? Why not build a rink in the city, Williamson County or Gallatin or here or there? It's not one or the other. You know, this is making sure we take care of one that's open already, work with parks, and the parks do such a great job. I mean, the forums that Monique is run, she's the executive director of parks, does an incredible job. But, you know, we've been working on this for about 5 or 6 years on the eventuality of this or possibility of this. And I love the fact that she wants the public to weigh in. Let's listen to concerns. Let's waylay some fears. Let's build facts around people. But as we're doing this, we're also still having conversations, you know, with Williamson County, with different cities within the county. Same thing with Hendersonville, Gallatin, and Sumner County. These things don't happen fast, but they happen faster. For those that want to complain that the Preds aren't doing something in their hometown, they happen faster when that person reaches out to their mayor or council person or alderman. Says, this is what I want. This is why I need it. Tell her Bellevue happened because two parents wrote an email to Council Lady Wiener, and she's so responsive to her constituents. We started working together right away, and 18 months later, we had Fort Ice Center Bellevue. So instead of complaining why we're not doing something, get involved, write an email, make a phone call, because we need more ice, no doubt about it.
Well, here's what I like about you, and I'm being serious, is that you welcome the conversation. Right? I mean, you talk about when you walk around the arena when the Preds aren't doing great, people talk to you. You love the passion. Same way here, right? I mean, you love – there's nothing hidden. You love it out in the open. Talk about it because it's face-to-face. It's better than hiding in a closet, right?
Absolutely. And you know, sometimes it's difficult. Like, you know, people – I mean, there's some very unfounded accusations. But after that, like most things, once you have a conversation, everyone starts nodding their head together. And us, too. I mean, there are things that, you know, we're going to – change some things we do at Fort Ice Center off of what we're learning in these forums, or certain things are done really well in Centennial. Let's pirate that for Ford Ice Center. Conversely, there are things that happen at Ford Ice Center that maybe we can benefit Centennial by. But make no mistake, NYHL, the Flyers, NSA, a few other skating firms that are emerging right now. The sled hockey program out there is incredible. Those things won't just continue to flourish. They're going to get even better. They'll have multi-year contracts for the first time ever. They'll know what the rates are, you know, for the next 3, 5, 8, 10 years, whatever. That's important. But those are the things we're hearing. But sometimes it would be easier to be in that closet, Joe. I won't lie. But it's,
right.
It's so worth the time and the effort. And I think even when people still don't agree completely, they all respect each other a little bit more, you know, by getting to know each other better.
No doubt. Sean, good luck with that, and enjoy Sweden. We can't wait to hopefully come back with 4 points. That's obviously what we're looking for on the hockey side. But you all have a good time. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I don't want to be greedy, but I want 4 points in America before we go, and then we want to grab 4 of those Swedish points. My wife packed an empty bag to take them home with us. So have a good time. And guys, remember, SPF 50 or 70. I mean, you are a pretty pal dude, Chase. Make sure you load up.
I will take that. I will take that in consideration. Thank you, Sean.
Send some pictures of your body art. See you guys.
We will. Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators, joining us here on the program. By the way, 7656. We were talking about zodiac signs. Says June is not Cancer zodiac. July is. Late June is. I'm June 25th. I think I know my zodiac sign.
Like the cutoff line's like the 23rd or 22nd for every zodiac sign. What, 75?
I love people that's like, the sky's blue. No, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I mean, yeah. I think I know my zodiac sign. We'll come back with what day is it. And celebrity birthdays. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase.
Good Lord. What's the thing they try to kill in Ghostbusters? The slime thing that's John Belushi?
Slimer?
Slimer. We just had a Slimer attack here at Reunion.
Wait, that's John Belushi?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You knew that, right? No. You're the one that told me that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Slimer in Ghostbusters was an ode they wrote in for, that's John Belushi.
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's their tribute. That's go so, back and look at it. It's
so spot on.
Right? It's perfect.
That's funny, though. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here at Reunion Township in Lebanon off 109. Come by and check it out if you're looking for a place to live. We've had a lot of fun today. It is a little cloudy now, so the storm's starting to move in, but certainly keep your eye to the sky. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right, first on the list, we have Fountain Pen Day. Love those type of pens. Let's see, Hug a Bear
Joe
Day.
Steals them.
Do you really steal those, Joe?
I do.
Yeah.
What's next?
When I buy pens, I buy 5 for me and 5 that I know Joe's going to steal.
And he is correct on that.
Okay. Next is Hug a Bear Day. So if you know.
Do you know where you could hug a bear?
Not Dickerson Pike.
East Nashville.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Next is International Merlot Day. So if you like a nice red wine, you could.
But anyway.
Little League Girls Day, so Little League Baseball, all that, softball. National Canine Lymphoma Awareness Day, so get your dogs checked. National Jersey Friday is today. National Medical Science Liaison Awareness and Appreciation Day. National Rentinol Day. National Notary Public Day. And the last two we have here is National Bittersweet Chocolate with Almonds Day. Love some of that. And Love Your Lawyer Day. Shout out to my buddy Jackson. Just graduated law school this morning.
Well nice. Done, Jackson. Maybe he could be our lawyer when we're sure anymore.
We might need one.
All right. Time for celebrity birthdays. Get these within two. Our first birthday, Chase, you go first. Singer Joni Mitchell. How old is Joni Mitchell?
67.
63.
82. Dr. Crane gets to go now. Actor Christopher Knight, he was the middle Brady. Who's the middle Brady on Brady Bunch? He's the one that
Hated the Brady Bunch.
He's the one that went high on the song. Sha-la-la-la-la-la. Anyway, Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch. Dr. Crane, how old is he?
69.
Nice. 70.
68.
Oh.
Dr. Crane's on the board. Chase, you get to go now. KISS guitar player, current guitar player, rocker Tommy Thayer.
62.
64.
66. Dr. Crane's up 2-0. Dr. Crane's getting it now. A guy I find very funny, actor Adam Devine.
I'm going to go 52.
48.
42. Chase gets to go. Singer Lord.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to say 28.
40.
29. 2-1. Dr. Crane, you get to go now. Singer Johnny Rivers. How old is singer Johnny Rivers?
78.
That's a pretty good guess. 75.
83. Chase, you get to go now. How old is, man, some of these names I've heard of. Rapper Tinny Tempa.
41.
Who?
Rapper Tinny Tempa. Don't you play like you don't know who that is.
I don't, but I'm going to go 32.
37. All right, we got our last two. Chase, you get to go for this one. Former Major League Baseball pitcher Jim Catt. Or Jim Cott. Sorry, Jim Cott. Not Jim Catt. Jim Cott. God.
One you feed, one you sleep on.
Yeah, right? Jim Cott, former Cardinals pitcher.
Yeah, 64.
68.
87. Oh. All right, Dr. Crane, 2-1, our last birthday of today. How old is former Kentucky basketball coach Billy Gillespie? Mm. And then, Dr. Crane, is Connor Newt there?
He has walked in the door.
You can ask. You can get help from Connor Newt.
No.
Nope, he gets help. Did you ask him?
He's thinking.
Well, we don't have time. We need answers.
56.
All right, Chase.
55.
Billy Gillespie is 56. Good job, Connor Newt. And that's it. Dr. Crane, you win 4-1.
Thank you. I think I won three or four days in a row.
We don't care about that. We're concerned about today.
If you want to go to Key West, you better shut your mouth. No, I'm just kidding. I want to give a birthday shout-out to our good friend Emily. It's her 30th tomorrow.
30?
Yeah, the dirty 30.
Big deal. It's a 30. Every day.
It's a downhill from here, right?
No, it's not, man. Every day's better. Aging is a privilege denied to many.
Yeah, wow. That's Big Joe Dubin.
Thank you for that. We leave our show every day. We talk the message about, guys, if you're struggling to talk to somebody on your cell phone, you can dial 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. We are always here to talk to you. You can go to the website, thegamenatural.com, click on the Chase and Big Joe show, and there is help there for you. We just need you to talk to somebody. Please talk into somebody. Change my life. It could change yours. And you need to know how wonderful you are and how great your journey is and how beautiful you are. And know that we love you, and more importantly, and this is so important, know that God loves you. Know that, please. Have a great weekend.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Connor Newt in today with D-Mace. That is all coming next here on 102.5 The Game.